This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to A Little Pot of Joy, the podcast program.
Welcome. This is A Little Pot of Joy, the podcast show with Andrea and Alice. Our community is made up of so many amazing and diverse groups of people, as are the programs on Joy 94.9. There is something there for everyone. A Little Pot of Joy is where we highlight just some of these amazing programs.
We would like to show our respect and acknowledge the traditional custodians of this land, of elders past and present of the Kulin Nation, whose land we are broadcasting from.
We're opening the evening with a segment from Stand Up Straight. Introducing Teddy by Jessica Walton. In this episode of Stand Up Straight, the team chat to Jessica Walton and her dad, Tina.
The two discuss the upcoming picture fiction book, Introducing Teddy, A Story About Being Yourself, which features a transgender teddy bear. And we've actually just had Jessica walk in the station to talk to us about this book. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's really wonderful to have you in. And this just adds a little bit more of a human face.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you.
So how do you identify yourself, Jessica, to start?
I play the ukulele and I sing and I'm an amputee and I'm mostly gay. So, you know, I guess bi would be the term I'd use, although I think young people these days are coming up with much more accurate terms for to describe their sexuality. But yeah, look, Johnny Depp exists in the world, so I know I'm not a total lesbian.
You can't argue with that, really.
Yeah.
That's actually fantastic. You're actually a person, just like everyone else.
I am.
A little bit about your book, Introducing Teddy. I mean, it's such an amazing story. And also, I've had a look at some of the pictures on Facebook.
The idea for the book came about when my partner and I started looking initially for books that had same-sex parents in them. And there are some fantastic books out there now with gay mums. So we found a few of those. I mean, there's actually quite a few, but we found a few that were right for our family. But we found it harder to find, books that had transgender characters in them, particularly ones that were the kind of book that I'd be happy to pick up and read to my 18-month-old son. He really loves reading, and I really wanted just a nice, simple, gentle book about acceptance and friendship. And so basically I wrote the book that I wanted to read to my son, and I thought I'll put it on Kickstarter. I didn't expect that we would actually get funded. I thought, look, I'll give it a go. But if this doesn't work out, then I'll still have ticked something off my bucket list. I'll have written a book and I'll still have it there to read to my son. So even if we have 10 copies on our bookshelf and one day I can, you know, give Errol a copy of the book that I wrote and say, you know, this is something Mummy wrote for our family, that would have been enough of an achievement. But we were blown away by the success of the Kickstarter campaign, and then we Neil Gaiman retweeted about he tweeted about the book, and then we started getting calls from newspapers overseas, and yeah, it all just got a lot bigger than I anticipated.
When I was looking at the highlights this week and came across this Stand Up Straight podcast and started listening to it, and then I just had to go out and do a bit of research, and it was amazing how many overseas newspapers actually picked up your story. Yeah. And they were so positive. It was really amazing.
Yeah, I kept waiting for the article that would say, you know, controversial picture book with transgender character. You know, I guess I was a little suspicious every time I got a call that this might be the article that made me feel worried about my family getting all of this attention. And I felt quite vulnerable, to be honest, when everything took off. Even though I was grateful that my book was doing so well, I feel quite protective of my family. So I was a little worried, but again and again, the articles came out and they were positive and they really focused on the book and also on Tina's transition being a really wonderful thing for our family. And yeah, it gave me a lot of hope. I think we're moving into a different stage. I hope we're moving into a different stage. And certainly the journalists that I spoke to made me feel quite positive about the future of stories about transgender people in the media. It was just, yeah, really wonderful.
I think I read probably three articles locally in Australia, and about another 7 from overseas. And everyone had a very positive aspect towards their stories. And they portrayed transgender as something quite normal and had a lot of feeling towards the book. It was really amazing. The illustrations are incredible.
Yeah, look, our illustrator is wildly talented and I'm incredibly lucky to have him on board. I found Dougal through, I put a call out on Facebook to family and friends saying, does anyone know an illustrator? And I was in the really early stages with my story, so I kind of thought, look, I'll put this call out. I'll see if anyone knows anything, anyone, and maybe I'll slowly work on this book over the next few months, get in touch with an illustrator. You know, we can start talking about the book. It might take a year or so to kind of get things happening. And all of a sudden, I was in touch with Dougal. He said, okay, great, let's go. He started doing illustrations. We suddenly had a book. We put it up on, well, it's not totally complete yet, but we had suddenly the what looked like a picture book. You know, we had the story there. We popped it into InDesign, which I'm actually an idiot with technology, and so thankfully Dougal knows how to use InDesign, but we sort of put the story into that program and started putting his illustrations in, and I thought, oh my God, this is real. This is actually happening. And then we put it on Kickstarter, and 45 days later we're, you know, recovering and celebrating much greater success than I ever anticipated. So it's all happened really quickly. It all got a lot bigger than I thought it would. And yeah, it's been a wild ride. And Dougal is just incredible. So
I think it's such an amazing story that you really tried to publish a book locally. And somehow or other, it was mystically picked up from all over the world. It's not just one area, but everywhere.
Yeah.
It's just gone viral.
I think, first of all, Kickstarter and other crowdsourcing platforms, they're becoming increasingly popular for people looking at self-publishing because it can be a bit daunting kind of thinking about approaching publishers, particularly with a book that I initially thought might not have a really wide appeal, so a really broad appeal. So Kickstarter kind of frees you from the worry because you know that if you don't get funded, you don't have to go ahead with all of the costs of self-publishing. But if you do get funded and you do find an audience for your book, then, you know, you've already got people behind you even before you publish. So it takes some of the stress out of that process of publishing. And it also allows you to develop the book as you want it to develop. So we were able to, you know, write the book that we wanted, do the illustrations that we wanted to do without, you know, working with publishers at that stage. We were able to just make the book we wanted to make. And then social media, I really believe that, again, that's freed first-time authors and illustrators from some of the stresses of self-publishing, because if you have a product that people want and you put it out there on social media, it will get shared by the GLBTI community, by parents who want books that, you know, that represent, by parents who are open-minded and want these sort of books for their kids. So we found that suddenly it was just being shared on all of these pages in, you know, the US and South America. If people want it, then they will share it. I think I'll leave it there.
It's an amazing story. The book looks gorgeous. I'm really excited to pick it up from the bookstore. We're going to hear a bit more about it in this upcoming segment with the interview that you did do with Stand Up Straight just the other day. But thank you so much for coming in to talk to us a bit more about it.
Thank you. Look, at the moment, with the Kickstarter campaign being finished, the book isn't available for sale, but we will have some exciting announcements about the future of the book coming up. So if people do want to jump onto the Facebook page, the Introducing Teddy Facebook page, they'll be able to see those announcements there.
Fantastic. Introducing Teddy on Facebook. We'll have to check it out.
This is A Little Pot of Joy, the podcast program.
Megan from Transpositions and myself, Clayton Wimshurst, interview Tina and Jessica about the upcoming book, Introducing Teddy, A Story About Being Yourself.
I think that the kids today are already so open-minded and they're really, I guess, more assertive about being themselves. And so I think the books that need to be out there are books that support kids to be themselves, no matter what that means. So I think there need to be more picture books out there with children with disabilities as well, or families that have a family member with a disability. And that's something that I'm passionate about too, writing something like that down the track. What do you think?
Oh yeah, I just think there's just been huge reaction and there's just this amazing market out there for, I don't think there's enough material out there really for parents. parents, they're really sort of scrambling and they're searching the internet to try and try and find some resources, which I think that's really reflected in the reaction we've had with the book that you've written.
Yeah, people are saying, do you know of any other books like this? I've had quite a few people getting in touch, and I think there are some out there, but it's just now I think perhaps we're at a point where instead of trying desperately to find something like that on the internet, some people are just making the decision to write something like that themselves. That's what I've done, and I'm coming across lots of people who have successfully written books about a lot of different topics where they just couldn't find what they needed and so they wrote it. Certainly why I wrote this.
I think it's really interesting though too that the issue of transgender and gender diverse people in children's books, the issues are cross-generational. So you've got parents that are looking for, parents that have trans and gender diverse children looking for books with kids in them, but also you know kids that have books that have parents that are trans and gender diverse, and of course books that have grandmas and granddads that are trans and gender diverse. It's a huge market and there's just not a lot around, but obviously we've touched a nerve because the response is amazing.
When my partner and I started looking for books that reflected our family situation, you know, we recognised that, you know, I'm disabled, my partner and I are in a same-sex relationship with a child, dad is transgender. It was going to be a challenge to find the right kinds of books, but as I said, I think more and more books that we've seen, George recently, news about that coming out, I think there's going to be more and more books that reflect diverse families, and publishers will surely recognise now that needs to happen.
I mean, the simplicity of the theme is reflected in the simplicity of the drawings. I mean, the illustrator here is just it's just amazing, and I think that's the whole thing about this book. It's such a it's a very simple, clear theme, and the illustrations are just gorgeous, aren't they, Jess?
Yeah, the idea that I had for this story was for the friends around Tilly the bear to respond in a way, to be completely accepting and immediately accepting. And when I wrote this book, I wanted it to be a simple, lovely story about friends accepting each other for who they are. That was, and I think that the illustrations, as you say, that Tina, they really, they're simple, they're cute, they're just, you know, they're meant to be a really, the book is meant to be something really gentle and sweet.
Why teddy bear? That was my question.
Not quite sure. Isn't that terrible to say?
No, not at all.
I think what I really wanted it, when I wrote the book, I wanted the character who was transgender in the book to not change drastically in terms of their appearance, for the discussion to be that the character tells their friend that they want to be a girl and that their friend says, okay, great, and let's go and play. So that was part of it. But also I think teddy bears are, everyone loves teddy bears. They're really cute and everyone, I think most people had a friend who was a teddy when they were little, and I liked the idea of Tilly the teddy bear. And when I chatted to the illustrator, he loved drawing teddies and had already done some amazing illustrations with teddies. So once I saw one of his teddies, I just thought, that's what I want.
And I think too, there's something emotional about teddies. There's in one scene in the book where, you know, Teddy gets sad and it's like, oh, I just want to pick him up and give him a cuddle, you know, Teddy's, oh, you know, an emotional symbol, I think.
Yeah. I was actually talking to a friend of mine who works in children's literature who was saying that, you know, perhaps this story could be read as the child Errol in the book who has the teddy. You know, maybe Errol is working through some issues around gender identity through the teddy. And I was like, wow, I didn't intend that, but that's an awesome reading of the book too.
A bit of Calvin and Hobbes style. emotional sorting out.
Teddy is a Jungian symbol.
Yeah.
I was going to say, look, the illustrations themselves play a very important part within the book itself in terms of when you're also really trying to communicate that to a younger audience. How did you come across the illustrator for the book?
So basically I had this idea for the story ready to go, and I thought I'll put the call out on Facebook to friends and family and see if anyone knows anyone who can draw really well. And so I did that, and my older brother said, oh, hey, there's this amazing person. You know, they've never illustrated a picture book, but they're fantastic. Go and have a look at his website. And a lot of other people suggested as well. And so I spent all this time going through people's illustrations on Instagram or Facebook. There were some incredibly talented people, but as soon as I saw Dougal's illustrations, I knew that they were right for this book. So the one that decided it for me, Dougal had this illustration of a little kid staring up at a scene at the aquarium, and it was just, Dougal's given me that illustration and it's framed on my son's bedroom wall now. But that was the illustration that made me go, yes, this is the guy, this is the person for my... I was very lucky to find him, and hopefully we'll work on a lot of projects in the future together.
Do you want to quickly tell us about the Kickstarter campaign in terms of where people can go and stuff?
Yes, so they can go to the Kickstarter website and just look for Introducing Teddy, A Story About Being Yourself. That's the title. So they can jump onto the Kickstarter page and pledge. You can choose a reward. So there's paperback editions and hardback editions. I think there are still some signed copies left as well, a few. So yeah, there's still a little bit of time left to get the book.
There's also some, if you want to see some of the illustrations, you can see them on there, and there's a video that you can watch that tells you a little bit about the book and its background too. So
yeah, and we do have a Facebook page too if people want to jump on there and have a look at some of the illustrations. And I've been sharing the fantastic articles that have been written about the book on that page as well, so that's a good way if people want to have a look at the progress, our journey as we've gone through the last few weeks.
So how do they find the Facebook page?
It's Introducing Teddy on Facebook. Yeah. So if people want to have a look at our Facebook page, they can go to www.facebook.com/introducingteddy. Or one word, Introducing Teddy.
If you find a gorgeous illustration, you're on the right page. Is there anything either of you would like to finish up with saying?
I mean, I'd actually like to, a lot of the support we've had from the trans and gender diverse community for this book has been just amazing. And, you know, the support we've had through various organisations like Transgender Victoria and the FTM Sheds and Gender Diversity Australia and, oh gosh, through, I think, Rainbow Families might have done something. But anyway, I guess we'd just like to say thank you to the community for actually getting behind it. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, and also there have been a lot of gay and lesbian organisations that have shared and promoted the book as well. So, yeah, we've just felt a lot of love from the Rainbow community. And also, can I just shout out a thank you to Neil Gaiman for sharing my book on his Twitter.
Wow.
Because I think that's really what started all of the global attention. I mean, we definitely had interest from overseas before that through some different groups in the community, but yeah, that really kicked it along. So thanks, Neil, if you're listening.
Neil Gaiman is amazing.
Yeah, my favourite author in the whole world. So that was, yeah,
wow,
an amazing day.
You're on Joy 94.9, and this is A Little Pot of Joy with your hosts, Andrea and Ellis. Up next on Joy's Station Highlights, Centre Stage, Charlie Hobman, one of the Radio Play winners.
Chris from CNC Drive Factory chats with Charlie Hobman about his radio play, Struggles of My Fluidity. It's a positive perspective for younger listeners. It really is okay to be who you are.
And the struggles of people who just don't understand. Joy 94.9 Centre Stage Project is supported through funding from the Community Broadcasting Foundation.
And you can listen to the rest of the winning radio plays by downloading them from the Joy website, joy.org.au/station-highlights.
This is A Little Pot of Joy, the podcast program.
I love like expressing how I feel through my writing, and I write a lot, mostly like poems and stories. So I thought this would be a challenge because I haven't done something like this before. And I also saw it as an opportunity to talk about like gender fluidity, because I feel like in the trans world, gender fluidity is often looked over, and like I think it needs more representation in the media. So I thought I would give it a go.
Absolutely. Now, have you done much writing that has been published before?
Not necessarily. I have done a lot of public speaking and written speeches for it. Like earlier this year, I did a TED Talk on gender identity. I write frequently, and I have my YouTube account, which I upload videos. And
okay.
I write my scripts for that. But apart from that, I haven't had anything published.
But you're definitely getting yourself out there in public if you're putting your videos out on YouTube. And
yeah, and it's been like incredible. Like I never thought I would be able to have a TED Talk or actually speak in public about my identity and other people's gender identity, but it's been good to put myself out there.
And this, of course, leads to the theme of the play that you've written for us. Of course, it's right. It's called Struggles of My Fluidity. I'm assuming that it's very autobiographical.
Actually, no. I'm FTM transgender, so I identify as male. However, I wanted to try and like capture gender fluidity because I have known people who are gender fluid, but when they try to come out to people about it, they don't really understand. And I've been quite close to some people who are gender fluid, and I've seen from like a different perspective of what it's like to have people not understand. And whilst I do understand that to a degree, because many people don't understand what transgender is in this society, I saw that there was a bit more of a struggle there and I wanted to shed light on that. So I had to ask people for advice and check that I was right, because I didn't want to make any mistakes.
Well, I was going to ask you that. So did you have some friends and people you knew that you could reach out to get their experiences for this?
Yeah, definitely. I've been really close with my partner at the time is gender fluid, and we're still pretty close. So I have found out some stuff through them, as well as other people who have come to me to discuss it. And I've also watched YouTube videos. I specifically searched for gender fluidity to find out more about it.
Fantastic. So give us a bit of a synopsis of how the play is structured and what you went for in the play.
Well, the play is about a person called Harriet, but they prefer to go by Harry. It pretty much starts with the mother not really understanding, because sometimes Harry is okay with wearing dresses. However, sometimes Harry is really not okay with it, and that really captures the way fluidity works, because sometimes you can be feeling masculine and sometimes you can be feeling feminine, and other times you can be in that gray area in between. And I wanted to express that and shows all the common struggles that people who are gender fluid face. So I wanted to give a big selection of things in a short play about what it is.
Now, the play, it's written basically in the first person and in the thoughts of the main character, Harriet, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought if I adopted a first-person perspective, then I could more accurately express the feelings and the thoughts and the frustration that Harry had to face when people didn't understand them.
Fantastic. Now, have you actually heard the play since it's been produced?
No.
Yeah, so this is going to be the first time for you as well.
Yeah.
All right. Well, buckle up, everybody. We've got 6 minutes now. This is pretty amazing. This is Charlie Hobson, who's here with us now, and his play, Struggles of My Fluidity. This is it. This is one of the four winners for our Centre Stage competition here on Joy.
Centre Stage. Original radio drama on Joy 94.9. Proudly funded by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. We present Struggles of My Fluidity by Charlie Hobman.
From the moment we're brought into this world, we're taught who we're supposed to be. We're given our name, our nationality, our traits and our styles, and our gender identity. But what if they got it wrong?
Harriet! Get up, dear. You'll be late for school. Give me a dress so I can iron it.
I'm wearing pants today, Mum.
Harriet, dear, you're such a beautiful young girl, and it's such a shame to see you put it to waste dressing up as a boy. I gave birth to a daughter, Harriet. You were fine wearing the dress yesterday. Stop making such a big deal out of this and hand me a dress.
But I felt feminine yesterday. I'd always known I was different to everybody else in my life. Right from the very beginning, I'm living in a strange world, and I'm even stranger. Some days I feel masculine, and some days a lot more feminine. I shift between the two, sometimes staying in the middle. It frightened me at first. I wasn't sure what was wrong with me. So I told my mum, asking for her guidance. I used to be so naive. She didn't understand either, mistaking my emotions and my identity for a problem with puberty.
Harriet Jones, please take a seat.
Yes, sir.
Harriet, now you've been enrolled in this school for 3 years without any problems.
Yes, sir.
However, recently it's been brought to my attention through several teachers and even some students that you've had some misdemeanours with your uniform. Now, the school uniform policy states that female students must wear the plaid dress, hemmed just above the knee, with polished black shoes. Now, do you understand that, Harriet?
Well, yes, sir, but sometimes I just feel more comfortable wearing pants.
The uniform's been designed specifically for comfort, alongside looking like a respectable young lady. The dress, according to female staff and students, is quite comfortable.
But, sir, I'm not just referring to the physical comfort level. I just prefer dressing masculine sometimes.
Oh, look, Miss Jones, you're a young girl on a journey through self-exploration. It's called puberty. You're just confused. I can arrange for you to speak with a counsellor if you wish.
Oh, no thank you, sir.
Okay, well, you can go, Harriet.
Everyone I speak to treats me as if I'm making this up for attention. I wouldn't lie about things like this. And I'm disappointed that the people in my life don't believe me. Everyone brushes it off when I tell them about it, as if it's nothing. Everyone wants me to be an eloquent, perfect little girl to make them proud.
Hey, honey, how's your day?
Fine, thanks.
Well, you know, I went shopping today and you would never guess who I saw at the plaza. Robert from the church. You know who I'm talking about. Anyway, we chatted for a while and he told me...
I can't seem to concentrate. On days like this, I feel like I'm living a massive lie, almost as if I'm hiding my true self from the whole world, presenting myself as something that I'm not. I feel like such a fake, like I'm wearing a costume, disguising myself from who everyone wants me to be. What would happen if they found out that's not who I really am? The very thought gives me chills. Am I an imposter? Or is it just puberty? As I've been told. Or am I just being dramatic after all?
So you know the church fete's coming up. Well, I thought I might make these slices and cakes. And I thought you might want to help me.
Excuse me, Mum. I'm just going to go lie down. I don't feel well.
Okay, dear.
I struggle to look at myself in the mirror on days like today. I see myself staring back at me and it feels so surreal. That's not who I'm supposed to be. Although that's who I am. I can't change that. My appearance has been feminine since I was born, and although I'm not always comfortable with that, I can't really change it. It must sound crazy, attempting to shift between the two. The truth is this isn't even about my appearance. Today, I just don't feel like Harriet. I feel like Harry. I want to be known as Harry. Maybe this isn't about being dramatic, or about trying to be different. And certainly, this isn't just my hormones talking. This is who I authentically am. Down to my DNA. It's in my veins. It's in my bones, in my mind, and in my heart. Maybe this is exactly who I am supposed to be, regardless of what people think. Their opinions are irrelevant because all that matters, truly, is that I'm comfortable within myself. I'm completely crazy, aren't I? And if, for now, I am the only person who believes me. At least that is one person out there who supports me. Me. And I will keep educating people and learning to be resilient. One day, the world will care. One day, the world will notice that they got it wrong. When my mother gave birth to a little girl, they got it wrong. Although on some days I'm able to fulfill their wish for having a perfect daughter, they were still wrong because on some days I am their son, their perfect son. They got it wrong.
This has been Centre Stage, an original production by Joy 94.9, proudly supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation.
Well done. And what did you think of the production first time through?
That was emotional to listen to.
I'm sure it was.
It was done so well.
Look, great story. Well done. You deserve the award. This is the official bit. So this is the official certificate of appreciation. And more importantly, it's $500. This is to you, Charlie. Well done.
Thank you.
Congratulations. We'll take official photos in a second. But congratulations. It is with assistance from the Community Broadcasting Foundation as well. So we do appreciate the work you put into it and great story. So thank you very, very much. Congratulations.
Thank you.
One of the winners for Centre Stage, our radio play competition, and you just heard Struggles of My Fluidity. This is Joy.
You're on Joy 94.9 and this is A Little Pot of Joy with Andrea and Alice. Up next from Dean Beck on the line, My Underpants Rule, Saving Children from Abuse.
Sadly, around 1 in 5 children, or 1 in 3 girls and 1 in 7 boys, will fall victim to sexual abuse before they turn 18. And the figure is even higher when the definition includes offences such as flashing and cases not reported to authorities. While all parents hope their child will never find themselves in a situation like this, one of the greatest challenges as a parent is how to protect and empower your child against this.
As a police officer for almost two decades, Kate Power saw her fair share of the seedy side of life and found child sexual assault the most disturbing part of the job. After starting a family of her own, Kate felt compelled to take action not only to protect her own children, but to empower all children to protect themselves from the perpetrators of child sexual abuse.
If you're not able to listen to the show live, download the podcast from the Joy website, joy.org.au/onTheLine, or the iTunes Store.
This is A Little Pot of Joy, the podcast program.
It is World Suicide Prevention Day, and, you know, I got to thinking of all of the suicides that have occurred around child abuse, and they have been brought to the fore with the Royal Commission into institutionalised child abuse. It reminds us that suicide is sadly an option that people take when abused. Well, there is a person that has done some pretty amazing things in regards to this subject from the other end of the spectrum, working with children. It is my great pleasure to welcome Kate Power to the program. Welcome.
Thanks very much.
Kate, your book, My Underpants Rule, is for kids. It's for empowering kids. How did it come about? What was the spark for this?
Well, I was a police officer for 15 years, so I was frontline, so I saw some pretty horrible things involving kids. And then, actually, when I had my own three kids that I thought I could protect them being a police officer, but then a few things happened in my very own community that made me rethink this, and I realised I couldn't always be with them, and the best way that I could protect them from sexual assault was to educate them. And the next dilemma that I had, that this, for a parent, this subject's actually quite tricky because it's personally confronting, and how do you get around teaching kids about this in a positive and engaging way? And that's when my husband and I got together and we thought, you know, oh, we remember nursery rhymes from our childhood and safety rules that were rhyme-based, and that was a catalyst for My Underpants Rule.
Kind of like Hector the Safety Cat when I was growing up.
Yeah, I had one to cross, how do you cross the road?
Yeah, I still
remember it.
Isn't that amazing how those things stick? So I understand the impetus, and sadly it's more likely to be someone close to your child, another family member or someone in a position of power like a teacher, if there is going to be something that happens. And we often miss those because they are so close. We think it's going to come from something further afield. This attacks that any infiltration, I guess, right at the core.
Yeah, absolutely. Of the reported crimes of child sexual assault, it's up to 90% where the offender has a close relationship to the child. Yeah. And what I also found in the police is children who've been assaulted themselves often don't know what they're doing and they act out and they actually assault other kids. So we can't actually protect them all the time. We don't want to spoil our kids and we don't want to take their innocence away, but we do need to teach them what's appropriate and inappropriate behaviour in relation to our private parts and what actions to take if anything should happen. And that's what we've done in My Underpants Rule.
It's always been suggested that age-appropriate sex education, giving language to body parts and actions, is going to create greater protection for children than anything else.
Yeah, that's right. And it's age-appropriate. So
yeah.
What we have done, we're not telling them about sex at all because this book is for 3 to 8-year-olds. So we're not telling them about that. We do go into names underneath your underpants, and we have done it in a way that there are the proper names there. But we ask the question, do you know the proper names? But we also have a lot of funny kids' names that kids use for their private parts. And the reason why we've done this is because kids find it funny first, and if you engage kids, they're going to learn better. And a lot of parents really struggle with talking, using the proper terminology, even though they know they should. So we're trying to let them off and encourage them in the book and then teach them the proper names when they feel comfortable.
How do you get to that difficult situation when someone may be touching their underpants inappropriately? How do you tackle that hard one?
Well, how do you teach the kids? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and through the book, how do you communicate that?
Well, we communicate it through the Underpants Rule rhyme. Would you like me to tell you the rhyme?
Please.
What's What's under my pants belongs only to me, and others can't touch there or ask me to see. But save growing up a doctor when I'm not healthy, what's under my pants belongs only to me. And if this rule's broken, I can run, kick or scream. Yes, it's really okay if I make a big scene. My underpants rule has been broken, you see. What's under my pants belongs only to me.
Now, I guess with all kids' books, you know, repetition is where it all gets ingrained. Have you got any studies to suggest or any evidence to suggest this has saved kids?
Well, it's actually been newly released, but we have shown this book to many experts and survivors, and they have helped us for the last 6 months improve it and get it better, and we have trialled it on many kids. And what we have found is it's helped kids in many ways. Firstly, they learn the rhyme really quickly. It's quite amazing. And then, you know, one mother told me that her little boy was running around showing off their private parts all the time,
right,
which is kind of normal for kids. And she was getting a bit concerned, so she read the book to her son, and he changed his behaviour. And I also had a dad read his six-year-old son the book, and then that just once, and then they were watching on the news, and there was some inappropriate touching with footballers or something like that, and he yelled at, "Dad, they're breaking the underpants rule." We were living in the UK last year, and we just sent it to the largest organisation for child protection in the UK, the NSPCC, and they loved it so much. They put it on their recommended reading list, and they chose our book to be in a behavioural study in Northern Ireland with 40 schools. So, yeah, we've had really good feedback, and we have worked with people to get this better and better and better.
Now, it's one thing to empower them to know the difference of right and wrong, but it's another thing to enable them to step forward and seek appropriate assistance if something does happen. Do you tackle that in the book?
Absolutely. What we have the rhyme, which I've explained to you, and then we play a little game with them, and we have five scenario questions. And what this does is it helps kids recognise that they're in danger, that the underpants rule is broken, and then it helps trigger an action response, which is I can run, kick and scream. Yes, it's really okay to make a big scene. Then always tell someone you trust who wasn't there when it happened, and they'll help you work it out. There's also a page where it says, because through the scenarios, and it says, so the answer all depends on how okay you feel. So if you ever feel that something's wrong, that's when you make a big deal. So it comes down to the feeling of the kid as well, because you can't, there's so many different scenarios that we have to keep it simple for kids. So if they feel something is wrong, always tell someone you trust who wasn't there when it happened.
And some of those scenarios are pretty darn complex too.
They are, and they can be manipulated. So we have tried, every single word in this book has been thought through, gone through by experts as well, to get it as best we can, to cover, you know, as many issues as we can.
I guess the most insidious is grooming, which can take place over months, sometimes years, and is kind of embedding into someone's life. How do you tackle that? Because that's not as black and white.
No, it's not. And that is very a complicated issue that happens a lot. So if a safe parent, a parent who cares about their child, or a grandparent or educator, they can teach their kid first the underpants rule, they're going to know the kid is going to be much, it's going to be much harder for them to be manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
And when a kid's feeling, what in my policing experience, when a kid's feeling something's wrong, because they don't actually know about the darkness of this issue, which is great, but they know something's happened to them, they might go up to their safe parent, like their mum, and say, "Mum, oh, I don't like the way Grandpa's tickling me." And he's trying to tell his mum, or she's trying to tell his mum. But how do you decipher that?
Sure.
With a parent, it's really difficult. So what the book does, it gives kids a language to communicate with their parent, like, "My underpants rule has been broken, Mum." She's going to hear that, or Dad. And then they can start asking more questions and take some action. So, yeah, that's what we try and encourage them to do.
Your background, Kate, is as a police person, how did you, have you extended the copies of the book to the police? Are they using it in any way?
As I said, we're just launched, and we've just come back from the UK, so that the books are in the New South Wales Police, so that's on its way. But we really want to get this book into the hands of parents, carers and grandparents so they can create that trust between their own kids. So that was our first point where we want to get the books out. Then we will tackle all the other areas.
I just think it's fantastic. It does have that little rhythmic rhyme right throughout. The illustrations are fun. Kids will love them. It's colourful. And it's just a brilliant concept, well executed. Well done.
Thank you very much.
It should be in every school and compulsory for every class.
Oh, thank you. Well, we think so, and that's our aim, because the more kids that we can empower, you know, the statistics are just shocking. 1 in 5 Australian kids are estimated to be sexually assaulted before they're 18. I find that just, you know, horrific, especially being a parent, and we just want to reduce it down to nothing, if possible.
And on World Suicide Prevention Day, it is... It's a great book. Every kid should have a copy. My Underpants Rule by Kate Power. And it's available at, what's the website again?
MyUnderpantsRule.com.
Thank you so much for joining us on the line today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Joy 94.9.
You can find more of the complete podcasts on the Joy website, joy.org.au, or download them for free from the iTunes store.
You've been listening to A Little Pot of Joy, the podcast program. See joy.org.au and click on our podcast link to subscribe to your favourite podcasts free.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.